You and your twin will never have a meltdown trying to find the right thing when you do your shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Amazing Race podcasts all season long when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the world's biggest wedgie, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very special... Jessica, we forgot to come up with a name for what's this called.
Yeah, we're still working on the name.
Amazing Race live recap. Actually, no, it's not live. We're recording this after the fact, and nobody's watching it. Jessica, this is a disaster from the start.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Jessica, it's you idiot! You idiot! I told you to come up with what the name was before, and you didn't even do it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Oh my God, we're already fighting. It's the first day. Oh no!
Yeah, that's the second most awkward start I've seen all night.
There you go. Yeah, so we need you guys to help us come up with what the name of this is. That I feel like if I called it Amazing Race Know-It-Alls, I feel like Stephen Fishback is going to claim copyright infringement. So I don't know what to call this show, but the Amazing Race After Show. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Hopefully with your help. But anyway, it is the night of the Amazing Race premiere, and so the idea of this show is on Sunday nights, Jessica and I are going to do a call and talk about 30 minutes. Or so about everything that happened on the Amazing Race. On Mondays, I will have exit interviews with the racers, and I'll have that up on robhasawebsite.com as well. And then on Monday nights, normally, Jessica and I will be live together with an Amazing Race alumni to do our live show and take your questions and talk with some of the great Amazing Race guests about what happened on that week's episode. That's a lot of Amazing Race.
It is. We've like tripled our coverage.
Triple our coverage. And not to mention that Jess's award-winning Amazing Race blog.
Did I win an award?
Yes. Yes. Best Amazing Race blog of the year.
All right. Okay. I'll take it.
Yes. So it's
definitely the best Amazing Race blog on Rob Has a Podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So we got a lot of coverage. I'm very excited for the season of Amazing Race. So a tiny little bit less excited tonight because I believe that I'm not speaking out of school when I say that the Twinnies were one of our favorite teams.
Yeah, that was a little heartbreaking.
Yeah, very, very sad. Very sad night tonight, but we will go on. They did go out with a bang. I'll say that for them.
Yeah, it's true. They never do anything quietly.
Yeah, so they left a real impression in our minds. So we'll talk about everything that happened on the premiere of Amazing Race All-Stars. Of course, you can get this podcast when you are subscribed to this show. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Or we have our separate Amazing Race feed, which you could subscribe to on iTunes or by on the RSS feed if you want to put it on any of your other devices. If for whatever reason you're on Android or whatever and you can't, the iTunes thing isn't working for you, you can get both of those feeds if you click the Amazing Race category on robhasawebsite.com. And hopefully we'll get some people joining us here who are the race fans and for our weekly catch-up and all of our race coverage. Okay?
I think they'll find it. Yes. They'll be here.
Thank you. We hope so. And if you do so, we'd love to get your comments and feedback, not just on the Rob as a Website iTunes feed, but also on the Amazing Race iTunes feed, because that helps more and more people find the show when you do that on iTunes. Okay, so let's jump into this. And I guess our top story at this hour, you want to talk Twinnies or you want to talk Bopper?
Well, let's do it in chronological order. So let's start with Bopper.
Okay, Mark and Bopper. Oh, my God. Tragedy has struck the Amazing Race when one of my favorite teams of all time, Mark and Bopper, Jess, apparently the night before the race was about to start, that they did, you know, the testing that they do the night before the teams leave. And it looked like that Bopper had something going on with his pancreas.
Yeah, with his pancreas.
Yes. Do we have an
update? Of all internal organs. I mean, I don't have an update on it, but he's on the social media and he seems to be, he's a little bit bittersweet about the whole ordeal, but he seems to be okay. I mean, as far as I know, he's not dead.
So, okay, well, good to hear that Bopper is on the mend.
Yeah, you wouldn't know he's not dead from the way people talked about him all episode, but...
Bopper is not dead.
He's alive and reasonably well.
Well, thank goodness that I don't know if they have like a bunch of people that they call or if you have to list an alternate on The Amazing Race, but thank goodness that Mallory was home that night. She didn't have plans for the next month and she was able to get on a plane and come out to California from Kentucky that day and go compete on The Amazing Race with
that
Mark.
Is exactly what happened.
that was lucky.
That was very fortunate. She just happened to be hanging around.
Yeah. So what do you think Bopper did once the race started? He's just like, all right, everybody, I'm out of here.
I would guess he probably had some kind of therapy for his pancreas.
What kind of therapy could you get for your pancreas?
I don't know. I guess the pancreas processes insulin, so it could be like a sugar thing. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we hope that Bopper is doing okay. Now, what did you think of this choice of Mallory to come in and replace Bopper with Mark?
It seemed kind of random on its face.
They're both from Kentucky. What else do you want?
You know, I guess they got that in common, but Kentucky's a big state.
Okay. Well, they're both from the same state, and you don't turn your back on your friends in Kentucky.
I guess so. And, you know, there's other... It's kind of surprising. I looked up to see how many teams on The Amazing Race have been from Kentucky, and I found some really surprising ones, people that maybe could also have pinch hit for Bopper.
Do you have a better pinch hitter for Mallory?
I do. You know what team was from Kentucky that was also two-time racers? Kent and Vixen.
Oh,
Let's get one of them in there.
With Mark, that would be a
yes. That would be a better match.
Yeah. Now, how much of a disadvantage do you feel like this is for Mark to have not Bopper?
I think it's got to be hard to be out there with someone you barely know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've met at some point, but they have no idea, you know, who should do what roadblocks and who's good at what and any of that stuff just out the window.
Can you give us a scouting report on Mallory real quick?
Mallory has run the race twice with her father, and both times they went pretty far. And she's very bright, and she's more athletic than her small size would suggest. But she has an energy level that is completely on a different wavelength from Mark's. And I think that could hurt them a lot. And already you can see Mark's kind of got this deer in the headlights look anytime Mallory kind of starts going off.
Yeah. Did that seem super into some of Mallory's suggestions in this episode?
Yeah. And you could see like they don't trust each other to make the right decisions because they don't know each other.
Okay. So Bopper out, Mallory in, Mallory and Mark. We like the alliteration there. So we'll see exactly how that all plays out. As far as the general leg of this race for an opening leg. What was your overall thoughts on this leg of Amazing Race All-Stars?
Well, I never like the first episode of any season. I feel like you don't have enough time to see everybody do everything. And as a result, they try to give you just a couple of tasks. And especially this time when we spent half the episode dealing with, you know, race starting live Eve drama. And bringing in Mallory and introducing everybody. It doesn't leave a lot of time for everybody. Plus, then you have 11 teams. You don't get to see what everybody's doing all the time. And there's not much for them to do.
Yeah, it really did not seem like there was much to do. There was the thing at UCLA. Mm-hmm. And then we went to China. And then they had to find the store.
Yep.
And then after they found the store, they got on the Ferris wheel. And then did five flips in the air, and then that was a pit stop.
Yeah, that was all there was.
Yeah, so not a jam-packed first night.
No, definitely not. All right, you can't put too much in there, again, because you have to tell the story, but there was really almost nothing happened.
Yeah, so a lot of teams did not get a ton of airtime tonight, but our team that came in last to the pit stop certainly did. It was a true meltdown for Natalie and Nadia here tonight.
Yeah, you know, they're only going to be on one episode, but they certainly packed an entire season's worth of yelling into that one episode.
Yeah, and of course, if you're listening to this on Monday morning, I'll have an exit interview with Natalie and Nadia for you as well on Monday. Jess, where did Natalie and Nadia really go wrong?
You know, I don't even know. I'm completely perplexed by this. It just seemed like they hit the ground screaming, and they got kind of tangled up at the task where they had to find the bridal shop, and they never recovered.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were in, when they first got there, they were with the big group. They were with all the teams that were on the first flight, which were, it was them, it was the Cowboys, it was David and Connor and the Afghanimals. And yeah, they were with the Afghanimals for a bit, and I thought that was really hilarious, the Twinnies and the Afghanimals.
Yeah, now, did I not call that? You said, do you think they'll team up? And I said, I think they'll hate each other.
Yeah, well,
and
they did. They did, but I felt like they were, you know, switching horses too fast. Like they were like, yeah, they were with, okay, this isn't working, let's go to them. And then they were with, then they were in with like, did they go right to with the Country Girls with Jen and Caroline, or were they with the YouTube and John and Jessica?
I feel like I didn't see them with YouTube until later.
Yeah. Oh, so I think they started with where they dropped the Afghanimals. They picked up Jen and Caroline. And then there was at one point all four of the groups, like they picked up YouTube and John and Jessica, because there was one point they were in a store that wasn't even the right store, and they were just tearing that store apart.
Yeah, they were just kind of wandering aimlessly. I think at that point, panic started to set in. They reached a point where they saw that they had made a mistake, and it was a very, very early mistake, and they were worried they weren't going to recover, and it just kind of made things worse.
Yeah, and I feel like if you were going to say what their biggest sin was in the race, I felt like they were, you know, quick to try to say, okay, let's get away from the herd and let's try to get ahead, and they kept breaking off from people to because they felt like they could do better on their own.
Yeah, and then those people kept passing them up.
Yes. Yeah, and at one point when they were with the Afghanimals, they were right at the store, and I think Leo was like, oh, here, it's right here. And they're like, no, you don't know, idiot. And then that was it. And then it turned out that was where they had to go.
Yeah. It was not a good showing from them all around.
And by the time they got to the Ferris wheel, when it was, you know, should we get in number 2 or get in number 12? Like, that was sort of a moot point by that point, I think. By the second time around on the Ferris wheel. Once Jen and Caroline got in the right car, it was sort of over for them.
Yeah, and that whole task, I felt like there was a very clear logical way to approach that, and logic had gone completely out the window at that point.
Yeah. Were you surprised that the show didn't try to make it seem like it was going to be closer to the mat between the Twinnies and YouTube?
Well, I think the show had to make a choice with their editing. They had to decide whether they were going to show the Twinnies completely imploding or whether they were going to try to amp up the tension. And I don't think they could have done both. And I think they made the right call to show the tension between the Twinnies rather than try to make it look dramatically like they were going to beat YouTube.
Yeah, because it was a bad night for the Twins, because by about 30 minutes into the show, you're like, oh, that if it's not the Twinnies who lose here, it's going to be a miracle.
Yeah, and if it's not the Twinnies, by that point, you kind of don't want to see them again.
Yeah.
It's getting uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Now, do you think that either Natalie or Nadia will move to Sri Lanka and never come back?
I doubt that's going to happen. They're both pretty solid tri-staters.
Good. Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. So then the team that came in first on this episode, oh my gravy, it was the Cowboys with a very strong showing on night one.
Well, Rob, I think this is a lot like Survivor in that if you can't manage to do well at this by the third time they have you back, you know, there's no hope for you.
Yeah. It was pretty straightforward, like nothing, no curveballs, really.
Yeah, it was not a hard leg. And they've been they've been out there long enough. Like, they've done enough racing to know what to expect when. And there are really no surprises there.
So it was the order of finish. It was the Cowboys and then Brenchel and then David and Connor were the top three. So here are the Cowboys now coming in first. Now the holder of two express passes. So Jess, what do we think happens with the second express pass?
Well, I know what I have a couple of suspicions about how this is going to go, but I know what I would do if I was in their shoes. And this was brought up on Twitter. If I was them and I had the second express pass, I'd give it to John and Jessica just because that would be funny.
That would be funny. Are Jet and Cord funny?
I don't know if Jet and Cord have that kind of sense of humor. That might be a little bit ironic for their sensibilities. I think what is more likely, I think they're going to seek out one of the teams that they've raced with before.
So do you think it's going to be Globetrotters? Do you think it's going to be Margie and Luke? Is Mallory in the mix?
Hard to say. I think they're going to feel like all of the third time teams have big targets on their back. And they may want to seek these people out to align. Although they're not that concerned with alliances, which is one thing I found myself liking about them. They were more concerned about their own race. But they're going to have to give that to somebody, so they might just... I would say Margie and Luke are a good bet to give that pass to, because you know they're going to implode at some point, and I don't think they're credible threats to win.
Did you feel like that we have any alliances that you're starting to see form after one night?
I think it's too soon to tell, and there were too many people out on the course.
Yeah. I feel like... It feels like something is going on with... John and Jessica and YouTube.
Yeah, well, they were in an alliance before.
Yeah.
So that's not surprising.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think, and naturally, you're going to want to go to the people you know the best already.
All right, so we're just going to get into the headlines here tonight. And so then we're going to have stuff to talk about tomorrow. But Jess, I know that you have a lot of questions that came in from Twitter tonight. So let's start going through some of the Twitter questions that which came in to us tonight. Of course, Jess on Twitter is at HaymakerHattie. You know I'm at RobSisterNino. So let's start to get into some Twitter questions from Rob Has a Planet.
Okay. Well, I liked this one from Matt Gregg. He says, are we getting purple Globetrotters this season, or was it just the first episode?
What do you think?
I think it's a little column A, little column B. I don't think the Globetrotters did anything particularly compelling this episode, but I think there was also a lot of ground to cover. So we may see more of them later.
Yeah. I can't imagine you call them purple Globetrotters at this point in time. I mean, they had basically the one moment where it was talking about flight time, or whether flight time looked good or not in the outfit. What do you think, Jess? Did he look good?
Well, I think the term I heard was a sexy spinning piece of meat.
Yes. Yes.
But, I had to wonder why Big Easy didn't even contemplate getting up there. And I think it's just because when your partner's flight time, you let him do all the heights tasks.
Yeah,
he's in his name.
I think when you're Big Easy also, I think you're not crazy about wires suspending you. I think you want to, like, when you're over, you know, a certain, like, size, I think you have less faith in the wires holding you up.
Yeah, it's true. But wouldn't you have wanted to see him in that suit?
That would have been great. Now, the people, the wizards at CBS in charge of social media, they did a bang-up job tonight. We got the hashtag world's biggest wedgie on TV. That happened, Jess.
I think this is a historic moment in television social media.
Okay, let's check out Twitter and let's see how many people use the hashtag world's biggest wedgie. What do you think?
I was disappointed not to see it on worldwide trending topics.
It was not a worldwide trending topics. It apparently got retweeted actually quite a bit. It seems like a lot of people just tweeted world's biggest wedgie. Which,
well, I mean, what are the odds? Maybe somebody's just talking about that as a matter of course. You don't know that it has to do with the Amazing Race.
That's true. I tweeted, you'll never forget where you were when World's Biggest Wedgie happened. You know, but I don't know what the value of World's Biggest Wedgie does. Like, even if a lot of people use it, like, if and they just say, like, World's Biggest Wedgie, LOL, like, I don't really know how that necessarily promotes Amazing Race.
I think it's more of a tracking mechanism.
Okay.
I think they just want to know who's watching.
They want to know who's watching. Because some of the ones that they used on Survivor over, like, Survivor Breakdown and stuff like that, some of them, like, if you let, like, the next day, like, 12 people use those hashtags.
A whole 12. That's like 11 more than I thought there'd be.
But apparently they hit this one out of the park with World's Biggest Wedgie, because there are pages and pages of tweets. Well,
you know, a lot of the Survivor ones are like, you know, here's the challenge. Survivor's ready. Yeah. It's like, those are lame.
Yeah. I have to say, when I first brought this up, I was thinking that this would not have had a big response. I would have thought it would be like me and like a couple other Weisenheimers from Rob as a Podcast. But boy, a huge response to World's Biggest Wedgie.
It's the world's biggest, you know.
I guess so. So congratulations.
World's biggest reaction.
Yeah. Now I said in the opening that I was the Guinness Records book holder of World's Biggest Wedgie, but that Brendan might have an argument against me.
It's possible. I mean, you haven't been up on one of those 300-foot aerial flip thingies.
Yeah, but I sit in the same chair and do podcasts for hours on end. It happens.
That is a hard knock life, Rob.
Yeah. So that was very funny. Also, did they have any other interesting hashtags?
I didn't see interesting hashtags, but that doesn't mean there weren't any.
Last
I think
season,
it's just that one kind of took the cake.
Jess, last season, did we have the unique hashtags on Amazing Race?
I think they generally tend to do a better job than Survivor does.
Okay. Well, we'll watch out for that.
I think they let the racers come up with the hashtags in a way that, you know, you don't generally see on other shows.
Yeah. All right. Well, if only there could be a world's big, if they can work World's Biggest Wedgie into multiple episodes.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping like every challenge this season involves somebody getting a wedgie.
We can only hope. All right. What else came in from Twitter?
All right. We got one. Let's see. Diego Pena wants to know, am I the only one shocked to not have a Rachel meltdown on the first episode?
I don't think we're going to see a lot of Rachel meltdowns this season. I really don't. I think that Rachel has really come into her own as a person and as a reality TV personality since the last time they did the race, which was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised by Rachel this episode. She seemed very poised.
Like, Rachel has a good sense of humor. Like, I really think that over the last couple of years, Rachel gets it more than she used to.
Yeah, I think so. And she said something tonight that I really kind of delighted me. And she said she was excited to see all these other racers because she was a fan of them. And it was kind of, she was kind of starstruck to see everybody that she'd seen on television. And I thought that was not something I had expected Rachel to say.
Right. Were you buying that, though? I kind of wasn't buying it.
I thought it was cute. I halfway bought it. She didn't sound sarcastic, but
like, who was the teams that Rachel grew up watching that are back from the Amazing Race? I mean, half the teams played after they did. So
I think she probably watched it harder after she was on because she knew she was going to be asked back and she wanted to know who she'd be racing against.
Yeah. Okay. So instead of all of the teams, if you were going to fill in the blank with teams, what teams do you think that Rachel was starstruck by?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I could see Rachel being a fan of the Three Peters. Like, she's probably paid some good attention to them.
Okay.
And I could see her being an Afghanimals fan because I think they have a similar sense of humor.
She likes animals.
And she does like animals. I could very easily see her having paid a lot of attention to the season that half the teams came from.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
I mean, she's basically racing with an entire cast from a previous season.
True. All right, let's keep going with a couple more questions here tonight.
All right, we've got one. This one's interesting. April wants to know, I noticed that in a talking head, Jessica was talking about how she didn't want the express pass again, but the camera was close up on her and you couldn't see John's face. What do you think his reaction was?
I think John wants the express pass.
Yeah, I think he does too.
Yeah. I think that they've probably had this fight many times and she's like, you know, I don't even want that express pass. And he's like, give me the express pass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I think they must have reached some kind of uneasy truce about this because they did manage to not only stay together, but they got engaged.
Okay. Maybe that's like a bad word at their house. If I hear you say express pass one more time.
Yeah, I could buy that. But I feel like they must have either turned it into a private joke or made it totally verboten.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I want to see them get one.
Interesting. Express pass may be the safe word in the marriage.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know that I wanted to go there. I'm glad someone did.
Well, it is getting to be later in the evening when we're recording these.
This is true. This is really an Amazing Race recap after dark.
is that what it's called?
Maybe that's what we're calling it.
Amazing Race after dark.
In which case, I should really be drunker than I am.
All right. A couple more questions.
All right. We've got Bruce Pulliam wants to know, would you rather have a roadblock or a detour in the first leg? I think a detour would shake things up.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like at this point, everybody knows it's going to be a roadblock the first leg, and they need to change it up.
Yeah. I don't have strong feelings about it. I feel like it has more to do with the challenge itself than whether it's a roadblock or a detour.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I feel like everybody should be involved with everything you do on the first leg.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not fair to give someone a break right away.
No breaks.
We got Jackson Kruger wants to know, who would you rather race with, Mark or Mallory?
Well, Mark didn't throw up at all in this week's episode.
That we know of.
That we know of. It wasn't a storyline. But boy, Mallory was really pushing Mark's buttons when they were in the bubble.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
Yeah. What was she even saying? Like, he was like, the clue said, go to the stadium that's down by the river. And she was like, wait, which river? How do we know that that's the right river?
Yeah, and I think the quote that, she said, he said, once you get it, you get it. And she's like, we have to make sure to be sure. And I thought that was redundant and amusing.
Yeah. Also of Mark and Mallory, you know, Mallory never tried a food that she didn't like except for coleslaw.
That's something I was not aware of.
Coleslaw is delicious. What's her problem?
Maybe she had the wrong coleslaw, because you know it can be bad.
It can't be bad if you don't get the right one.
That's true.
Okay.
It can all. That's the same as true for Amazing Race partners. It can be bad if you don't get the right one.
Yes, that's also true.
All right. Scott St. Pierre has a good one.
Okay.
He wants to know, why were they in such a hurry to get to LAX when they already knew what flight they were on?
Well, when was the flight?
Well, that's a good point. I have to imagine they had enough time to get from... Okay, I've been to LA all of twice, and I don't know where any of this stuff is, but from whatever stadium they were at to get to the airport, there had to be enough time for them to get there and have 90 minutes to spare.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say they had a lot of padding.
Yeah, and also they had to save time to plug their car in.
Oh, yes, of course.
I mean, out of any of the product placements that they've done, usually they try to, like, integrate it into the task. Like, this was just, like, an extra step of, like...
Yeah.
And then when you get to the airport, you have to plug your car in. Like, why?
You know,
I'm at the airport.
They're trying to sell the car to you and make it seem like it's a great thing. I don't think the thing to highlight is that there's an extra step there.
Yeah. And when you arrive at the airport, you can plug your car in. Like, oh, okay.
Great. More to do.
How many spots are there at the airport that have plugs?
Maybe more than you think.
I don't know. I've been to LAX. I don't see a lot of spots with plugs. Maybe that's why I'm looking in the wrong spot. Maybe I need to find the spots that have plugs.
Well, I don't know. Can you plug your car in, Rob?
No, I can. I know for a fact I cannot. I'm lucky that I have to find a place to plug my phone in at LAX.
Fair point.
If that. All right, let's do, how many more questions do you have?
I think I've got two more that we haven't covered.
All right, fire away.
All right, we got one from, this person identifies herself as D, and she says, which team doesn't deserve to be back as an all-star?
Oh, well, that's tough question.
Yeah, kind of mean.
A little mean.
Yeah, I don't know. My first impulse was to say which team does, but yeah, I don't want to single anybody out here.
It's late. It's Amazing Race After Dark.
It's true. I mean, I would say that a team that went out early through something that was entirely their own fault probably shouldn't be back, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to name any names there.
Yeah. I'd say, if I had to say any of these teams, I would say Jen and Caroline.
Yeah, and Jen and Caroline are only in there because if they weren't there, then every single person on this race would be a dude.
Yeah. All right, and one more question.
One more question. Will the Amazing Race check in at either Pyeongchang, South Korea, or Sochi, Russia in the near future?
Oh, because they went to the place where the, what was it, the Pan-Asian Games were?
Pan-Asian Games, yeah.
Yes. What do you think?
Well, they have done tasks around Olympic stadiums before. Okay. Like, they went to Calgary, and they had to go down the bobsled track. And I feel like they've been there one or two other times where they've been somewhere where Olympics have been held, and they visited and had to do, like, an Olympic task.
Yeah.
So we could see that happen, I think, definitely. And also, Sochi, Russia just built all these new hotels, and I'm sure they're not going to tear down all of them, so they're going to need something new to come through there.
They should do a Survivor there.
They certainly could. One of the challenges could be drink the water.
How about next season of Opposite Worlds, they film in Sochi, Russia?
One team gets the Four Seasons, and one team gets the hotel with the office chairs in the bathroom.
We are live here in Sochi. Yeah, that's good. That would be very, that, you know, and the accommodations for the people in the past would actually be where the people from the Olympics stayed.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So tomorrow we have a very big show, Jess.
Yes, you have the Mr. and Ms. Survivor finals.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that from when you're listening to this show,
yes.
On Tuesday, there will be a very, very big show coming up with Jessica and myself.
Oh, yeah. It is 12:04. What am I saying? Of course.
Yes.
Tomorrow, as in Tuesday, we have a big show coming up.
Yeah. So we will be joined by, from the first Amazing Race ever and Amazing Race 11. Now, what did they call Amazing Race 11?
They called it Amazing Race All-Stars because it really was All-Stars.
So how come they're allowed to call this Amazing Race All-Stars? Isn't that confuse Google?
I think it probably does. And I think it also, I think they just were, much like us, too lazy to think of a creative name for their show.
Yeah, they, like we did. So this is, so what are they call, what are they calling it? Amazing Amazing Race After Dark also?
Hey, I don't know. Everything seemed to take place in the day, so they were kind of screwed. Amazing Race After Dark is our thing, Rob.
Okay, fair enough. So we will be joined by Joe and Bill, Team Guido. Yes, and what is Team Guido up to, Jess?
They are living in Hawaii, so we're going to be talking to them at 10 p.m. my time, 7 p.m. your time, and 4 p.m. their time.
Oh, well, that's good.
And they are still keeping up with the race. They're avid fans. They're really great guys, one of my all-time favorite teams, so I'm very excited that we were finally able to catch up with them.
Have you ever met them?
I have met them. They were actually the first Amazing Race team I ever met.
Yeah, I met them from way back when, because they were on the, I believe they were on the East Coast at around the time that I got off Survivor, so I think I met them at that point.
Yeah, back in the reality show circles.
Yeah, back when there was only like 50 reality people.
Yeah, now it's like every other person you meet is a reality person.
Everybody's done something. It wasn't 50, but there was, I think at the point that I had come off Survivor, I think there was only like 90 survivors or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was very fun. Tomorrow we have Natalie and Nadia on the exit interview. What's the one thing you want to know from Natalie and Nadia?
I want to know, well, I guess this is probably going to sound kind of broad, but what the hell happened? They seemed like they were really going to be a force to be reckoned with, and they just like collapsed on themselves like a dying star. Yeah. And I want to know how exactly that came to be.
Jesse, if you could have given Natalie and Nadia one piece of advice before they started the race, what would you have told them?
I would have told them that they need to chill out a little bit for the first few legs. Like, yeah, we want to see them yell and scream and cheer each other on, but you don't need to do that in the first episode. You need to kind of hang back and let the race happen to you on the first leg.
Was this the Amazing Race equivalent of Too Hard, Too Fast?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think so. It happens. You get so excited you're back for the All-Stars that, you know, you get...
It does.
You're playing outside yourself.
I feel like maybe they just... They expected to go in hard, and they went in hard, met resistance, and it was all over for them. But I'm very curious to see what they say about it.
Okay. All right. So we'll be back on Tuesday night for our Amazing Race live show with Team Guido and Jess and myself. Look for Jess's blog tomorrow. Jess, have you thought about what you're going to cover in the blog?
Yeah, I have a couple of really interesting pieces of trivia. Well, I don't know. They're interesting to me, but I saw some echoes of things that have happened in past Amazing Races that I'm interested to compare with what we saw last night.
Okay, good stuff. Well, Jess, thank you so much. Follow Jess on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. There you go. And make sure you subscribe for this podcast, because we're going to be talking Amazing Race all season long, because it's premiere week here on CBS and Rob as a podcast, because that'll take us after we get through all of our Amazing Race stuff. We have, of course, on Monday night, we're going to crown Mr. and Miss Survivor at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that's going to be live as well on Rob as a podcast. We told you about the Amazing Race show. And then it's the return of Survivor Know-It-Alls at 10:15 p.m. Eastern and 7:15 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday night. So big, big premiere week.
That is action-packed.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention that then on Thursday, I'm going to have exit interviews with the first two Survivor players who get kicked off on our double eviction night, and then we'll have our first big Survivor interview podcast. So it really is a very huge week.
Are you going to get any sleep at all?
Oh, well, I'm full-time podcasting now, Jess. So this is what I'll be doing all day.
Yeah, you certainly are.
Yeah, it's overtime podcasting.
Yeah, well, I think the fans appreciate you always go the extra mile for them.
We're going the extra mile. Not to mention, also, it's the finale of Opposite Worlds.
Wow, already.
Already, time flies. Yeah, in the history and the past, they both fly. All right, Jess, so I'll let you go. I will talk to you soon, and yeah, thanks so much.
Anytime, Rob.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jessica Leese with our first Amazing Race podcast on a Sunday night for the rest of the season. So if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, check out our other podcast that we did tonight on post-show recaps, our recap of the latest episode of Walking Dead. Plus, we've been doing 13 days of House of Cards. Every day I've been reviewing one episode of House of Cards with Zach Brooks, and that's up for you as well on post-show recaps. .com. So hope you're locked in. Hope you're subscribed. It's going to be a very, very fun season of Amazing Race and Survivor. We're all getting started. So have a good one, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.